Today's message is Heaven, Hell, and the Tales of Four Souls. Heaven, Hell, and the Tales of Four Souls. We're continuing in the series of the Son of Man from the Gospel according to Luke. Today we're looking at chapter 16. And 23. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We ask at this time, as we sit here in your house, that you would allow us and bless us to understand your word this morning. And that we would take the word and apply it into our lives, that we may be encouraged to take the gospel outside these four walls. For there are people who are lost. And Father, if there's anyone in this room today who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that they would make that decision today and come into the family of God. These we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Heaven, hell, not H-A-I-L, H-E-L-L, and the tales of four souls. We're looking at some selected passages in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. And chapter 23. Around the 17th chapter of Luke, the Bible tells us that Jesus set his eyes, his face towards Jerusalem. It's only a few weeks between chapter 17 and chapter 24, only a few weeks' time, less than a month between those chapters. When he hits Jerusalem in chapter 19, as he goes purposely to see a man who he called by name, who was up in a tree named Zacchaeus, when he finished that one, he was on his way. 17 miles or so to Jerusalem to go to an old rugged cross on Golgotha, Calvary, where he would lay down his life because no man can take his life. He has to lay it down because the love of the Father was such that he sent his Son, that those who would believe and trust in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and believe, my friends, that he would be resurrected, they would have everlasting life. But my friends, there's a problem. There's still heaven and there's still hell. Today we are looking at the tales of four individual souls. According to the World Mortality 2017 report, which was published by the United Nations, the number of deaths in 2015 was 56.567 million. This means that an average of 155,224 human deaths occur each day, averaging about 6,500 deaths per hour, 107 deaths per minute, 2 deaths per second. And you can imagine during times of war, oh, the rate goes up. This was 2017. The latest that I saw in 2019 and 2020 was something about 65 million a year. Each day when death comes a knocking, people's souls slip over into eternity, either into heaven or into hell. The reality of death happens every day. And what happens the moment after a person dies, Brother Curtis? Their soul temporarily departs from their mortal bodies to await a resurrection. Regarding the righteous, there's heaven. And we'll note that those who place their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, they will be carried by angels into the presence of the Lord, where they will be comforted. Anyone who has lost a loved one, and you knew that they knew Jesus Christ, the moment that they closed their eyes for the last time, took their last breath, they sat in comfort in the presence of the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7 says the following. Then shall the dust return to earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. On the other hand, regarding the unrighteous, not so. Their destination is hell. Unbelievers who pass from this side of eternity will await in Hades or hell until judgment time. Heaven, hell, and the tales of four souls. One of our stories today, there's a man who lift up his eyes, found himself in hell. And guess what? He was in torment. And he cried out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." "No, sir. No more time for mercy." He said, "Send Lazarus." Y'all heard about him, that poor beggar. "Can he just dip the tip of his finger into some water to cool my tongue? For I am tormented in the flame," from Luke chapter 16. Although we grieve over the loss of loved ones and we sorrow, but we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Those who so-called bust hell wide open, there is no hope for them. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even to them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, those other Christians who were in the ground, their bodies, not their souls. And they will meet the Lord in the air. And says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, it says, comfort one another. Are you comforting one another with those words? Or are we too busy complaining and grumbling about this old crazy world? Like that really matters. Eternity matters. From Thessalonians chapter 4. While the unbeliever's body remains resting, who can fathom how much torment their souls are experiencing? Some jokingly say that I'm going to bust hell wide open, I'm a party hardy. But Isaiah 14, verse 9, has a joke for him. I want you to listen to Isaiah 14 and verse 9. I ought to read it from the Message version. Hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Let me put that down in street language. Hail from beneath can't wait to meet thee. It's looking for you. It's waiting for you. It's getting all giddy and excited for you when your so-called bust hell wide open. Come on down here. We got a good old party. Man, it's going to have a hot time tonight. Hell can't wait to see somebody coming. They don't have no vacancy sign. Your reservation ain't canceled today, buddy. Come on. Hell. Heaven. We have a tale of four souls for you today that you'll find in the gospel according to Luke. Our first point, a tale of two eternities. A tale of two eternities. Matthew 25, verses 41, 2 Peter 2, verse 4, Ephesians 4, verses 8 and 9, Revelations chapter 20, verses 13 through 15. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. A tale of two eternities, heaven and hell. Our second point, a tale of the twos, a tale of the twos, the rich man and Lazarus. Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. Finally, our third point, a tale of two thieves. One a believer, the other is lost. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 8. A tale of two eternities, a tale of the twos, and a tale of two thieves. For our first point, A tale of two eternities, heaven and hell. Eternity will be spent in one or the other. There's no in between. There's no such thing as purgatory. It's either heaven or hell. There are lots of words that we'll find in the scriptures regarding what we would call hell. Sheol, that's a word that we'll see often in the Old Testament. Or perhaps you'll see the word Hades, sometimes called the place of the dead, because once you die, because man is a three-part being, he is a spirit who has a soul and lives in a body. The body will decay. The body will decay, but the soul and the spirit still live on. And if a person has not trusted Jesus Christ, they are spiritually dead. Their spirit is dead because of Adam's sin infecting all of mankind. But all men have a soul. Save men, their spirit is alive. For those who do not know Jesus Christ, they are spiritually dead. They've lost their connection with God. Their spirit man is marred because they have not been reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ. Then we'll see the words paradise and sometimes the grave. Then we'll see the lake of fire being mentioned as well. That's the final place for those who don't know Christ. It's a final judgment. Luke chapter 21. We find that some of the disciples were remarking how the temple was so adorned with some beautiful stones. And so they were remarking to Jesus, because every now and then when they would go to Jerusalem, they'd see some more things added to the temple. And so they were noticing how beautiful it was. Now, Jesus, as some people might think, I am a killjoy because I say something and they don't like it, instead of checking the scriptures to see if, whether it's true or not, which is what you're supposed to do at New Berean Baptist Church. You're supposed to check the scriptures, not just get mad at Brother Casey. Seriously, too many times I've heard someone say that's what I've always been taught. Guess what? You weren't taught that by Pastor Ricks. Don't bring that to me. Tell me what the scriptures say. Then I'll respect you. I don't preach for nothing because I love your souls too much. In fact, Pastor Rick said not to play with your souls. So if I tell you something and you don't like it, check the scriptures out first before you bust the mad on me. Because it's heaven and it's hell, no in between. No play here, if I may quote a certain missionary. Jesus, when he heard these comments about how well things were coming along at the temple, he said in verse 6 of chapter 21 of Luke, what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Verse 7, they say, Jesus, teacher, when will these things happen? What will the sign that they're about to take place? When's that coming? What kind of advance warning are we going to get? And that began, my friends, Jesus' discourse And we'll find it in more deeper fulfillment in Matthew chapter 25. That's why we went to Matthew 25 for our first verse, because everything that Jesus said happened. In 70 AD, only 3 years after they finally finished the temple and the temple complex that Herod started before Jesus was born on this earth, they finally finished it. And then 3 years later in 70 AD, the Romans couldn't take the revolts that the people of Israel were having. And so they just tore it down. They burned up the temple, took the stones apart. Just like you said, brother. And when they did that, they did a good job. It has never been rebuilt. No more sacrificial worship system. After Jesus Christ died, that was it. The temple went on for a few years, but it was all done. And now they have no place. The Jews have no place for the sacrificial worship. Well, that's because Jesus is the last lamb to be sacrificed. But when Jesus began that sermon on the Olivet Discourse, you might call it, he began to do some talking. You see, Jesus talked more about hell than anybody else in the scriptures. The only one who talked as much as he did was John the Apostle. That's because he wrote the Apostle, John's Gospel, and the book of Revelation. Take those two out of the picture. Jesus and John the Apostle, they spoke about it more than anybody else. So who's the authority that we go to today about heaven and hell? We're going to be looking at Jesus and John. Matthew 25, verse 41. Look what it says. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting what? Fire. Prepared for who? This passage is referring to some remarks that Jesus made because his disciples asked him about the signs, right? Well, he began to tell them what happens after the 7-year tribulation period when he would come back. Those that treated the Jews right, those who would believe the words of the 144,000 Jews who were preaching the gospel then, he said to them, you guys, y'all going on the good side. Y'all going into heaven. But then he came back in verse 41 about the unrighteous. And look what he says. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, the ones that say, but Lord, we did this in your name. Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, I know we didn't prepare for you, but you qualify. Because hell is a prepared place. It's not an afterthought. It's a prepared place. Then he shall say unto them on the left hand, depart from me into the age lasting. That's what that word means, fire. Prepare because of what the devil and his angels had done. How sad it is. Somebody else did something and some were prepared a judgment for them. And here we are, mankind, waddle along just right after him. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Because hell is an eternal place. It's an eternal place. Not only is hell a prepared place, not only is hell an eternal place, but hell is also a place of retribution and judgment. Saints, in 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 4, the Apostle Peter, he is talking about some false prophets, about the doom of these false teachers and how their judgment is coming. He says their destruction does not slumber. Oh, it's coming. In verse 3, would you look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and then verse 4. It says, for if God did not spare who? The angels, who did what? And by the way, all of us have sinned according to Romans 3:23. All have sinned. There's none righteous. Romans 3:10. No, not one. If God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to where? Is hell a real place? Yes, it is. I know people will deny that hell exists. And delivered them into chains of darkness to be what? There's judgment. Hell is a place of retribution, a place of judgment. Luke 16:28 says it's a place of torment. Luke chapter 3 verse 11 says of the chaff that he will burn with unquenchable fire. Mark chapter 9 verse 44 says it's a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Revelation 14 verse 11 says that the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8-9. It talks about paradise, Father Abraham, in Abraham's bosom, which we'll get to in a minute, in point number 2. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8-9 is a primer to our next story. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, meaning Jesus, after he closed his eyes and said, it is finished, into your hands I commit my spirit, says, and he led captivity captive. He went to the place of the dead where Abraham and Samson and Joshua, Joseph, his stepfather, where they were all hanging out in a place of comfort. He says, it's done. You've been looking to the cross. Well, the cross is completed. I'm taking you with me. We busting out of here. Let's go. He says he led captivity captive. He gave gifts to men. And when it says, now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? Is hell real? Yes. How do we know that? Jesus went there. Oh, he didn't go there because of sin, because he was sinless. He went there to take his friends home. It's time to roll, y'all. I went to the cross for you. I died for you. I paid for all your sins. And now, your righteousness is my righteousness. Come on with me. We going home, y'all. Revelation chapter 20, 13 through 15. Listen, I don't swim, okay? And please don't ever try and put me in the water because you won't be able to swim anymore. I'm going to kill you. I ain't playing. I will kill you before you put me in the water. I ain't going in no water. I can ask God to forgive me, whether he does or not. According to scriptures, you figure it out. But if someone, by chance, somehow decides to put me in the water and I drown and a shark bites half of my body, and another shark says, that look kind of yummy, and bites the other half of my body. And then a killer whale eats one shark. And another killer whale eats the other part of the shark. And my body's all scattered all over the place. Guess what? When the Lord Jesus Christ cracks the sky, guess what's going to happen? I'm still going to have me a body. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. No matter where the mortal body decayed, it doesn't matter. God knows where it is. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Verse 14, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is called the second death. And verse 15 says, and anyone not found written in the book of life, because they were found righteous in Jesus, was cast to the final judgment, the lake of fire. Oh, but 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1 says, For we know that if our earthly house, our tent, is destroyed, whether by fire, by sharks, or whatever, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, that's eternal in the heavens. Here the Bible lets us know that heaven will be like a mansion like we've never seen before. It will be like a mansion not made with hands. But listen, okay, we heard about hell, but does Jesus really know anything about heaven? The internet, the streets are full of fools. Full of fools who will tell you, I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in heaven. My view of salvation is, who cares what you think? Who are you? Are there some people in this room who've ever lived in New York? You lived in New York, right? And if I told you, yeah, I've been in New York. yeah, I know all about it. And you found out that I was actually on a plane in LaGuardia Airport. Do I really know about New York? Some of you have lived in this area, some of Portsmouth, some Suffolk. You know the people in your town, right? In your neighborhood. You know all about them, right? Huh? And someone come in there, I say, yeah, I know all about Portsmouth. You don't know nothing. You never lived there. Well, does Jesus know anything about heaven? Does he believe it's real? Let me find out for a minute. Let me check some scripture to see if Jesus know what he talking about. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus comforted his disciples with his assurance about his familiarity with heaven. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled, fellas. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. Verse 3, it says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. John chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. Jesus is speaking with a teacher in Israel named Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee. About the Lord's very own neighborhood. See, he lived there. If you've lived in the neighborhood, you know about your neighborhood. So Jesus talked about his own neighborhood. And listen to what he says to Nicodemus, a great teacher. Verse 12 says, I have spoken to you of earthly things. And you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? If I speak about things that I know about in my neighborhood, eternity, comfort of people who are past, how are you going to understand anything? You've never been to my neighborhood. Oh, but listen, no one in verse 13 has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven. The Son of Man. I lived there. And we know from where God sent Jesus from. John chapter 3 and verse 38 says, Jesus said, for I have come down from heaven. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. We know that God sent Jesus from heaven. And we know where Jesus went when he had finished his assignment from the Father. Because Acts chapter 1, verse 11 says, as these two angels were looking at the disciples, looking up, as they see Jesus being lifted up into the clouds, you men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will he come the same way as you saw him go into heaven? He coming back. In the meantime, y'all got some work to do, so quit looking up in the sky and get doing your job. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also, guess what, interceding for us. Where's Jesus right now? He's in heaven with the Father. The Bible just told me that. See, he's back in his own neighborhood. He ought to know a little something about heaven, don't you think? And does Jesus even know where the Father is? Yes. Don't you remember his model prayer? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this, fellows. Our Father, which art in where? Does Jesus know where the Father is? Where is the Father? Is Jesus with the Father? And where is that? Does Jesus know what's going on in his neighborhood? So where is Jesus going to come back from? Well, he will return from. As the two angels told the disciples when he left back in Acts chapter 1. I want you to hear what Paul's testimony to the church was at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16 says this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. I think the scriptures have established that Jesus knows enough about heaven and hell so that our next stories, our next 2 points, make a little sense. Because Jesus knows about hell, and Jesus knows about heaven. Look at our second point. A tale of the twos, the rich man and Lazarus. Chapter 16 of Luke, verses 19 through 31. So we have this parable of the rich man and Lazarus, found in the middle part of the scriptures in Luke, which Jesus is teaching the disciples. But he had some people who were listening on the side, some old Pharisees. Now, they had already heard him in Luke 15 talk about some things that they didn't like. The lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. And at the end of that, Jesus poked them in the eye by saying, See, they don't care about souls. They didn't care about souls. You didn't care about the people. Poked them in the eye. And he just said, well, you know, I got 10 fingers. I may as well keep on poking. It says in Luke 16, verses 14 through 15, that the Pharisees were listening. And they weren't liking what they were hearing. They were still upset about what he said in Luke 15. So he began to tell some more parables, some more stories. So that's what this parable is about, this story is about. Some call it a parable, some call it a story because they use real names. In the end, doesn't really matter. Because you're either going to heaven or to hell. You have had attention. You better pay attention when Jesus is speaking. You can argue about whether it's a story or real or whatever. But if you close your eyes and find yourself in hell, it didn't matter, did it? Verse 19 says in Luke chapter 16, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple. That means he was rich. People who were rich wore purple, like Prince, and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Verse 20 says, but there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores. He must have been a sight to see, who was laid at his gate. In other words, he didn't walk there. He was so sick that people just dropped him off, designed to be fed with the crumbs. Doesn't mean he ate the crumbs, but he desired to eat them crumbs of the nice food that the rich man was eating from his table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So we have two people. We have two people. A tale of the twos. The rich man and the poor beggar named Lazarus. The only thing that Lazarus had that the rich man didn't have was a name. Because they didn't tell us what the name of the rich man was. But then there were two passings. For in verse 22, says, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Note, Lazarus the righteous one, he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Back in those days, there were two places in the place of the dead. One side was called paradise. That's where Abraham and all the righteous people lived in comfort. And then there was Hades, or hell. That's where the unrighteous stayed after they closed their eyes and then lifted their eyes and found themselves in a bad place. It says in verse 23 that there are two places. It says that being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. These two places, Lazarus was, you might say, in heaven or in paradise. He was at rest, in comfort. The rich man, he was in torment. And there were two problems. Would you look at verse 24? Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. For I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, you know, in your lifetime you received, in verse 25, your good things, and Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented, verse 26. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed between us, so that those who want to pass from here to you, which ain't nobody want to do that, nor can those from there pass to us, ain't happening. It's a problem. That's the first problem. Second problem, it's not time to evangelize now, fella. Then he said in verse 27, I beg you therefore, Father, that you will send Lazarus to my father's house. I got five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they come to this place of torment. Nope. 29, Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. They got the Bible. Let them hear them. Jesus is poking at the eyes of these Pharisees. No, Father Abraham, if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. It's going to be a while, brother. Verse 31, he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rise from the dead like Jesus. Not time to evangelize. It's time to receive the hearing of the word and Jesus Christ before we close our eyes. It's too late. It's too late. The seriousness of unbelief leads to eternal danger. John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, Zoe, eternal life. But the wrath of God abides on him. The rich man found himself in hell. Not because he was rich, folks, but because he was an unbeliever. There are people in hell right now who heard some evangelism, but they refused Christ, and they have found themselves in hell. And so that takes us to our third point, a tale of two thieves, the believer and the lost, from Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Verse 32 up to verse 39 talks about these criminals who were also at the cross where Jesus was to be put to death. And they had come to this place called Calvary, and it's where they were crucifying Jesus. There was one criminal on the left and one on the right. And the people in the square, the people in the area around the cross at Calvary's Hill, They mocked Jesus. They said things and sneered and said, he saved others, let him save himself. If he's the Christ, the chosen of God, if he's the Messiah. Soldiers mocked him. The religious rulers mocked him. And then Pilate put a sign on top of him. This is the King of the Jews in three different languages, Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. So there was Jesus, the great Messiah, not wearing any clothing, beaten up to a point where his mother could barely recognize him. One of these criminals who had earlier made fun of him as well, in verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him. They ridiculed and they scoffed, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. Now, the description of the criminals in this passage is telling us that they were the kind of folks who were no good. They would kill anything and do any bad thing. These were the worst of the worst criminals hanging with Jesus. But one of them, in verse 40, came to his senses. But the other answered and rebuked him in verse 40. He rebuked that other thief, saying, do you not even fear God? Saying that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed, he's confessing here, listen. He's confessing his sins. He said, and we indeed, verse 41, justly. We're here. Justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. The thief, he saw the importance of Jesus, and he confessed the sins. Whereas his buddy on the other side, as he was ridiculing and scoffing at Jesus, he was not believing. And Jesus has already declared, prior to this, that their willful blindness to be unpardonable. Did you hear me? Unpardonable. Their blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is in the final rejection of Jesus Christ seals their doom. They will lift up their eyes and they will be in hell, because they rejected God's grace. Verse 42. This thief who has confessed and who has believed in Jesus. Look what he says. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Wait a minute. Jesus is on the cross. What kind of kingdom is he? Isn't he going to go down in the grave? Oh, no, no. No, he's a believer. That's why he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth, which he did, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, which he must believe, because it said, remember me when you come in your kingdom, you will be saved. Jesus gave him a word of comfort. Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. You remember paradise when Jesus ascended into paradise and took the Old Testament saints and this thief, took captivity captive, and took him home with him? Buddy, I got you. You will be with me. Today, you will be with me in paradise. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Listen, if you're not saved today, listen. The Lord is long-suffering towards us. He's given us time to get it right, because he's not willing that any should perish, but they would all come to repentance. like the thief on the cross, like Lazarus. Heaven, hell, and the tale of four souls. For the saved, we know that absent from this body, we will be present with the Lord. For the unsaved, John 3:16-18 says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, like Lazarus, like that repentant thief, they would not perish, but they would have everlasting life. How do we look at that? Verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why he came. This is important, folks, because verse 18 gives us some sobering news. He who believes in him is not condemned. Amen. If you believe in Jesus, guess what, Brother Parker? You're not condemned. Brother Hebrew, if you believe in Jesus, you're not condemned. You're not condemned, Sister Sheila. You're not condemned, Deacon Jackson. You're not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. No hope. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Eternity hangs in the balance. You see, Jesus, yes, he did believe in heaven and in hell. He told us so. Now it's time for all who hear this message to believe in Jesus. He's the only way to the Father. Be a Lazarus today. Be like that penitent thief at the cross, who even at the last second, who struggled in his awkward position on the cross to breathe those words, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus struggling to speak in that tortured position on the cross said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The Lord's not willing that anybody should perish, but you will all come to repentance. But if you choose not to come to repentance, that's it. But listen, God loves us. He does. He showed it to us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. If you've never tried Christ, you will be saved. I did that on October 20th, 1978, in room 232, Residence Hall C. When for some reason I let these two guys come in my room, and they told me, as simple as I could understand it, that if I did not believe in Jesus Christ, I would end up in hell. When they left, I got on my knees, and the best I knew how, I asked God to forgive me and to come into my life, and he did that. It's over 40-some years ago. I'm saved today. If I drop dead right now, I will be in the presence of God. Here's the question. Will you? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, heaven, hell, and the tale of four souls. Two of those souls found themselves in heaven. Two of those souls found themselves in hell. If there's anyone in here today who does not wish to be finding themselves in a Christless hell, in torment, one can come to know Jesus Christ right now by confessing their sins. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead for he paid for their sins, all of them, and would trust Christ for their eternal salvation. If they would believe on Jesus Christ, the Bible says that they will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Acts 16, verse 31. Don't leave here, saints, without telling someone else that you love about the gospel. And if you're here and you're not a saint, don't stay an ain't.